So Mia had a wedding to attend in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. So that's where I went. You can't get to Mechanicsburg from here very easily. It is pretty much a straight shot right out 70, but it's just a long, long trip. So I'll tell you real quickly, I shared this in Sunday school. So the Lord was testing your pastor, and I failed, I have to be honest. In fact, Mia looked at me and she said, "Dad, calm down." And so we made a wrong turn. You're following your GPS, right? And so we turned. Actually, it was the right turn, but the GPS was just a little slow. So you turned, and immediately the road splits. And so I didn't know. I just kept following the turn. And as I'm passing the split, my GPS says, "Stay to the left." Well, it's too late. I've already passed the left. And that takes me onto a toll road. And I go up to the booth, the toll booth. There's nobody there in all the booths are all empty. I'm like, well, maybe this is one of those places they take a picture of your license plate and just, bill you, because that's kind of the new thing. So I just drive straight on through, go 3.5 miles down the road, first place to turn around, and there's the toll booth. And the guy, I go up, this has got somebody in it. "Where's your ticket?" "I didn't get one." I said, "I just got on the road right back there, the last place." He says, "If you don't have a ticket, it's $29.95. I paid $29.95 to drive 3.5 miles to get off the road so I could turn around and get back on the toll road again and pay $2 at the other end. But this time I'm fit to be tied, and he's like, "Calm down, Dad." Oh, well, that's the way it goes. So while I'm griping and complaining, I may as well get something else off my chest. Do you ever feel like that you never own your property? Brother Bill says this all the time. You know, in Indiana, you don't own your property, because in Indiana, you always pay property taxes, right? So, and if you don't pay your property tax, what does the government do? They take it, because they consider it their property. I mean, this is kind of a tough thing. It's like, you know, the government says, "Nope, that's not really yours." And it just galls me. I'm just being honest, and I don't even own property, all right? But it galls me as every time we want to do something around here that, you know, somebody's telling us, "Nope, you can't plant a plant there, and you can't put water there." It's like, whose property is this anyway, you know? And it can get frustrating, and you have to realize that God is in control. And our job is to sweetly submit to those in authority over us. Ouch. Okay, Pastor. I'm pointing them at myself, right? Well, that's really what we're going to look at here today. The idea that what is ours isn't ours. Do you understand? We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you probably know already where we're going. Take a look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And look at the last phrase there. And ye are not your own. Why? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Father, we ask that you would put your hand of blessing upon your word. And God, I pray that we would grasp and understand our responsibility to you, the lover of our soul, the one who has purchased us with the shed blood of your Son. And God, may we more than just submit. May we, out of love and passion, surrender ourselves to you afresh and anew. Father, we'll thank and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this, I want to start this way. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the rest of this message, quite honestly, is not for you. This is for those who have trusted Christ as their Savior and now have the Spirit of God indwelling in them, and our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore, because of that, we are not our own, but we are bought with a price. But if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ your Savior, can I give you an even better message here? And that is that's what God wants to do for you. He wants to purchase you, purchase your soul, to redeem your soul. Right now, whether you realize it or not, you're never your own. Without Christ, you belong to Satan. Without Christ, you're doomed for hell. There's no way out of going to hell apart from Christ. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God has made a way for you to trust Christ as your Savior and to be redeemed from hell and on your way to heaven. And so that's where this would begin. If you're here this morning, you've never done that, I would encourage you, implore you, beg with you, to please let God do what he wants to do in your life to save your soul and give you eternal life. Now, you know, God is sovereign and all-powerful, but this sovereign, all-powerful God has chosen that salvation is your choice, that you must trust Christ as your Savior. And he doesn't force himself upon you. He offers that whosoever will come and drink of this water will never thirst again. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's where it begins. So if you're there, if that's you this morning, then please give us the opportunity to talk to you about that today at the end of the service. We'd love to have that wonderful opportunity. But for the rest of us, Christians sitting here, Christians who have trusted Christ as their Savior, and the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away your sin, and you're on your way to heaven, not because you go to church, not because you've been baptized, not because you're a good person, but because Jesus Christ and his blood has taken away your sin, taken away all threat of damnation, and has saved you. And now you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. And the God who has purchased us has an expectation. And that is that you and I would glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. And in those two phrases, God encompasses the whole of our lives. There's absolutely no part of your life that does not belong to God. He owns us. He is not a God who lords over us, though he could. But he says to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, Peter, feed my sheep, minister. But he has the authority, and his expectation is that we will take the whole of our being and use it to bring glory and honor to his name. And we're going to just do a very simple study. I mean, this is about as simple as you can get. In fact, it's so simple, it's children's church simple. That's how simple it is. Glorifying God with our body and with our spirit, which are God's. So, quickly, you can help me here. As God says, I want you to glorify me with your body, being gracious in all that you say, give me a part of my body that I should glorify God with. My mouth, okay, that was the first one I heard. My mouth. You know, the Bible says this, that out of the mouth, where does what comes out of the mouth come from? The heart, right? It comes from the heart. The Bible says this about my mouth. I am to let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. If I want to glorify God with my mouth, I have got to quit, even if it's under my breath and where no one else can hear except for my daughter, who has to say, calm down, Dad. I've got to quit cursing the guy who made me pay $29. By the way, did he make me pay $29? I kind of did that myself, right? Get the ticket, John. Pay attention to what's going on. But you know what? My job is to glorify God with my mouth. Now, you know, a lot of times what we think is, oh, that means that all we can do is say a prayer and sing hymns. No, that's not the case. What we can do is anything that will edify, strengthen, build up someone else. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, by the way. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Anything that ministers grace to the hearer. Would to God that we would today choose to let our mouths be an instrument of glorifying our Savior, and that we would put a watch on our tongue, and that we would let only that which helps others, encourages and builds up others, proceed out of our mouth. So the Bible says, glorify God in your body. One of those is in my mouth. I heard somebody else. What's another one? My feet. Are you following the pattern here? You'll be able to sing it in just a moment. Your feet. Now, what do your feet do, Brother Bill? Well, they do. That is true. That's what the Bible says, right? Blessed are the feet of those who spread the good news. Yes. But what do my feet do practically? They take me places. So I'm going to glorify God with my feet. So, Brother Darren, what does that mean? I'm going to go what kind of places? Oh, be careful, little... Now you're catching on to the song. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. I told you this is children's church. I'm telling you, this is so simple, it's children's church. Having said that, there's hardly an adult in this room that's mastered it. You understand? It is children's church, but it's an adult problem. Would you agree? So if we were to jump into your skin and follow you around this week, where would your feet take us? Would you invite your pastor to go with you every place that you've gone? Thank you, because I'm hungry. Listen up. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit of God has jumped into your skin. And He is going every place that you go. Every place that you go this week, you are dragging the Holy Spirit of God with you. Are you going to go places this week that will glorify and honor the one who gave His life that we might live? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. You see where this is going? What are these for? What are they for? Doing things, right? Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. You see, when you sit down at your computer this week and your hands start tapping out things, is what you tap out going to glorify the God who gave His only begotten Son that you might be rescued from eternity in hell? When you're on Facebook and making comments, are those comments going to glorify, because that would be your hands and your mouth? What are we going to do this week as we take the Holy Spirit of God with us? Folks, we are not our own. I do not have the right to look God in the face and say, you can't make me. Because guess what? He did make me. Get the play on words there. He created me. So He owns me from creation. And He redeemed me. So He owns me from purchase. And He has the right, not me, to decide what I do, to decide where I go, to decide what I say. Somebody answer that phone. Couple other things, real quickly. Think back to your children's church days. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Now we're back in front of our computers, teenagers. There you are, sitting there in front of that computer. And the moment has come, the moment of decision. What am I going to look at? David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. There's a statistic out there that is frightening. And yet, I'm going to tell you that in my 40 years of ministry, do you realize I've actually had almost, I've had 39 years of ministry. I started full-time Christian service when I was 17 years of age. And especially since the internet has happened, this is just something that it's just true. If 10 men have access to the internet, and I'm going to guess that virtually every man in here has access to the internet, then 8 of those men have, at some time or another, used it to look at the wrong kinds of things. And out of those 8, 6 of them are still consistently looking at the wrong kinds of things. And this has nothing to do with saved and not saved. This is a general statistic for every man on the planet, all the way down to your 10-year-old son. I'm telling you. You know, sit down with Pastor Andrew for a moment. We have kids in our church who started looking at things when they were 8, 9, and 10 years of age. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Because my eyes are not my own. They belong to the one who made them, the one who bought them, and his expectation is that I will use what I see to bring glory and honor to him. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. I mean, we could talk about television and music and just keep filling in the blank. There's so many things that we have to just point out. You know, have you ever caught yourself thinking of a cuss word and thought, where did that come from? I mean, I don't know about you folks, we don't use cuss words in my house. So they didn't come from our general language around the house. We don't use, you know, I wasn't raised in a family. When I was a kid growing up, you know, if you used the wrong word for your backside, it was a cuss word. My dad wouldn't let us say the word pregnant. I mean, I'm not making this up. You know, if a woman was pregnant, you didn't talk about it. You just didn't talk. Then it was kind of funny. I'll just throw this in there. Then God brought a nurse into my family. My sister-in-law's a nurse. And she got pregnant, and she was like, oh, come here, you got to feel a baby kick. And my dad was just, it was almost more my dad could take. It was hilarious. You know, what we've got to do is to recognize that God has the authority and the right to expect that we will bring glory and honor to him in the things that we see, the things that we hear, the things that we say, the places we go, the things that we do. And if that were it, this would be a heavy-duty message. But he says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, what kind of things represent your spirit in the Scripture? Say it out loud. Attitude. That's really one of them. In fact, the word spirit in the Scripture is many times used, you know, replaceably with the word attitude. So what's your attitude like when you get a $29.50 toll bill? Does it reflect the attitude of the Savior who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, that he might be obedient even to the death of the cross, so that John Ray could one day show a rotten attitude to a guy in a toll booth? Really? Is that what it's about? What is it about? What gives us the excuse? What is happening in your life that we keep excusing ourselves? Well, Pastor, you don't know what my life's been like. You don't have my wife. You don't have my husband. You don't know what. You don't have to work with my boss. At what point does God say, unless this is the circumstance, you don't have to glorify me with your spirit? Otherwise, you have to. When does God let us off the hook? You know what God says? I bought you. Glorify me in your spirit. One of those would be our attitude. What's another thing that represents my attitude in the Scripture? About my thoughts. My thoughts aren't really my body, right? My mind is my body. I'm aware of my brain being my body. But my thoughts are kind of that elusive thing that's out there, but that's my spirit. Here's what the Bible says about my thoughts. The Bible says, I am to bring into captivity every thought and the sin which doth so easily beset me. And the Bible says this, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I am to glorify God in the way that I think. I am to glorify God in the way that I react. I am to glorify God in the attitude that I take upon myself, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of joy, an attitude of peace. I am to glorify God in these things, my emotions. How about this one? I'll give you another thing that's about our spirit. The Bible says in Psalm 37, you'll figure it out. It says this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee what? The desire of your heart. See, my desires are supposed to glorify my Savior. What do you want so badly that you've scheduled your life around it? And is that desire a desire that glorifies the one who gave his life that we might live? You know, it's a simple children's church message. But the real truth is, if we were all doing this, our church would be different, and our homes would be different. Our workplaces would be different. Maybe children's church is simple, but it's right where we live. God says, I have made you, and I have purchased you. Therefore, glorify me in your body and in your spirit, which are mine. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.